You're with Wendy Harmer on ABC Radio Sydney.
Toll exacted by feral cats and foxes on our native wildlife is staggering and, you know, terrifying, I must say. But here is a curveball solution, reintroducing Tasmanian devils back to the mainland. It's called rewilding. There are highly successful programs of similar things done around the world. Well, I think coyotes have been reintroduced and also big cats. Well, in America, the most famous rewilding success story was the reintroduction of wolves into Yellowstone National Park, and that helped restore the park back to almost a pre-human ecological state, apparently. Could that happen here? Well, Daniel Hunter is an ecologist and he's conducting research into the potential for reintroducing Tasmanian devils back onto the mainland. And so we welcome him. G'day, Daniel.
Good morning. How are you going?
Very well, thank you. And Tim Faulkner is the general manager of Devil Ark, the most successful mainland breeding program of the Tasmanian devil. Hello, Tim.
Good morning.
Firstly, people are very surprised, Daniel, and they've picked me up already, saying, aren't you talking about the Tassie tiger? Tell us the history of the Tasmanian devil on the mainland.
Well, most people don't know, but the Tasmanian devil was actually quite widespread across the mainland somewhere around 3,500 years ago. And we think that the arrival of the dingo in conjunction with some sort of severe weather events sort of drove them to extinction from the mainland.
Mm. And, of course, remind us of the fate that they've been meeting in Tasmania lately and how much you've lost of the population.
Well, Tim's probably someone quite good to talk to about that as well, but it seems around 90% of the population have dwindled as a result of the devil facial tumour disease, which is obviously people are quite familiar with now. And so anything we can do to sort of mitigate that and perhaps build and bolster an insurance population on the mainland is a great thing for the devils.
Tell us about the population that you have at Devil Ark, Tim.
Yeah, we form an insurance population, as Dan just said, and I guess that's in response to the disease. There's much on the ground in Tasmania taking place in terms of trying to keep the devil in its home habitat. In saying that, it's 21 years since the disease was found. 90% of devils are gone. And at this point in time, there's trial vaccinations. There's great difficulties in how they're administered, what success they have in the wild. But you know, the future of the devil at the moment is in unstable, it's a very unstable situation. So we have about 150 Tassie devils in the Barrington Tops, all in fenced areas, but the smallest area is the size of 6 football fields. They're a tricky species to keep in captivity in small enclosures because they don't get along that well and typically won't breed. So 150, we have about 40 joeys every year, and last year for that breeding season marked our 200th joey born, and again we're seeing devils mate right now. We're in the middle of breeding season.
And what do you do with the joeys, Tim?
A number of things. So firstly, the whole population, essentially, there was a big sweep through Tasmania in areas that the disease wasn't present, and genetic diversity was brought into captivity, and we have about 95% of the existing wild genetic diversity in captivity. So for a start, devils only live for 6 years. And because our project now started in 2010, essentially there are as many devils die as are born of the natural lifespan. But that means that there's around 30 or 40 devils that die every year, and then we breed 40. So we turn over our own population in an insurance capacity, but secondarily, we sent 23 devils back to a semi-wild area in Tasmania at the end of 2015. And otherwise, essentially, we trade with other organisations just to manage that genetic diversity and keep the population robust.
Okay. Well, Daniel, you have looked at what effect that they may have on ferals, like cats and foxes. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, well, we know from what devils are already doing in Tasmania. In Tasmania, there are feral cats, and we know that devils have a positive effect on the small and medium mammals in Tasmania because they sort of scare cats. And you know, if a devil and a cat were to interact, it's quite obvious that a devil would come out on top. So there's no reason to believe why devils wouldn't have the same effect on the mainland. Foxes are a little bit different. Foxes, there's no foxes on Tasmania at the moment, So it's a bit hard to sort of gauge the effect, although some people do say one of the reasons that the fox was never able to establish a sort of a viable population in Tasmania is because of the devil. So there were fox introductions to Tasmania. We know that, but they never took hold. And some people say that it could have been the devil that, yes, that stemmed that.
Yes, I read that that perhaps that the foxes liked to go and eat the babies in the den.
Yeah, well, I mean, these are two sort of den-loving species, so there's no reason why a devil going down into an active fox a fox den wouldn't consume the babies.
All right. Well, let's talk about if they were introduced around Barrington Tops. You say that they probably win out against a cat, but it sounds like, well, they wouldn't win out against a dingo or a feral dog. So, are we putting them at harm in harm's way, Daniel?
Look, it's a complex issue, but what some of the research I've been doing is suggesting is that across many areas in Australia, we bait dingoes very heavily. So we lethally control dingoes because dingoes predate on livestock.
Yeah.
So what we could do is in these areas where we're baiting dingoes is we could reintroduce the Tasmanian devil into these areas. So there's not a very sort of stable population of dingoes in these baited areas. So devils could really thrive in these areas and sort of act as an ecological surrogate for the dingo, doing what the dingo does, controlling foxes, cats, and sort of consuming the native herbivores so they don't become overabundant, and basically just creating that equilibrium that the ecosystems in Australia so desperately desire at the moment.
And would you like to see this happen, Tim?
Yeah, I think, you know, first and foremost, Australia has the worst mammal extinction rate on Earth, and I was in Tasmania 2 months ago in early December, and in one night of spotting, I actually was lucky enough to see two devils right down in the southwest where the disease has only just got, so the population's still hanging in there. It will get consumed. But not only did I see devils, I saw quolls, their smaller relative, bandicoots, bedongs, wallabies, and the list goes on. And 2 days later, I drove to Devil Arc through the Barrington Tops. I saw one redneck wallaby, and I drove three times the distance. And so our mammalian fauna and cascade effects on others has been obliterated. And so in terms of, first and foremost, the devil has to have a home in Tassie, and that's a focus, no doubt about it. But the likes of devil art, we could produce 200 joeys a year if there was a greater scope, which would improve the devil numbers, as well as it's prospectively a natural solution.
Yeah.
As Dan said, they were here not so long ago, an ecological blink of the eye. I personally witnessed the eradication of dingoes from the Barrington Tops, a very controlled measure to annihilate them. And what that does is, you know, again, where you have dingoes, you tend not to have so many foxes and cats. They keep them out. Remove the dingo, fox and cat numbers increase, and everything from a beetle to a small mammal is consumed. And so, you know, a natural control measure that gets along with agriculture, it's not threatening, it doesn't eat small children or cows.
Yep.
You know, it's a perspective. I think the worst thing that could happen is that it doesn't work.
Yeah,
That's not a bad thing. So, yeah, I think that in the future, once more is known about the devil status in Tassie and further opportunities begin to develop, it's something that we'd like to be at the forefront of and consider our organisation dual purpose for the support of the devil in Tassie and support a devil on mainland.
Well, that is a very enthusiastic testimonial. There seems to be one problem, though. I hear, and you tell me whether this is true, Daniel Hunter, that the Tasmanian government is saying, hang on a minute, they're our devils. They're entirely marketable for tourism. We don't want them to cross the Bass Strait and be let go and rewilded in mainland Australia. Is that true?
Look, I can't comment on that personally. I haven't had direct conversations with anyone. But, I mean, it would be I've certainly had emails and phone calls from people in Tasmania saying, what are you doing? You know, this is our icon. How come you're promoting, taking that away from us? But I think, as Tim said, it's Tasmania's animal, first and foremost. But let's keep in mind that, for example, the Tasmanian tourism industry isn't going to suffer if someone can see a devil in the Barrington Tops as well as Tasmania. People go to Tasmania for many different reasons other than the devil.
Okay, so how far are we along with this and making this a reality?
Well, these are models which I've been working with. So we're taking ecological data and projecting that in mathematical models, which is a preliminary stage. So all good things start this way, and so we're sort of putting one step one foot in front of the other at the moment and just trying to make progress. So,
and do you have the ear of the New South Wales government?
Not really. First and foremost, I'm with UNSW, so we're just trying to build a profile and get as much support for this idea as we can at the moment.
Okay. Good-o. Well, it sounds like you've got a bit of support here from the text I'm getting. There is one, of course, saying, oh, here comes the ABC cat-hating committee again.
we love cats, Wendy. They're a really good house pet. They just don't belong in the Australian bush.
That's exactly right. And other people saying, hi, Wendy, it's a wonderful idea. And, yep, all good, it seems, this way. So, look, check in with us again if you have a child reintroduction program. We'd love to keep up with this one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's very exciting.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for that indeed. Daniel Hunter, who's an ecologist. Thanks, Daniel. And Tim Faulkner, General Manager of the Devil Ark. Hey, Tim.
Yes?
Are we allowed to come up and have a look at the devils?
Oh, what do you mean? You most certainly are. Look, we're not a tourism organisation, meaning there's no one on a turnstile to come in. You would be most welcome at any time, and we do facilitate tours on weekends for the general public, but they are booking because our concentration is on caring for and feeding devils, so we have a limited number there. But, absolutely, you can get in touch a number of ways, and please come and have the experience and then follow it up with, going to see them in the wild for many years to come and generations to come.
Wendy Harmer on ABC Radio Sydney.